Thank you to Swanson Health for sponsoring this week's podcast. Swanson Health is the only company to offer a full spectrum of wellness products for mind, body, and home. For quality vitamins and supplements to cruelty-free beauty items to eco-friendly home products, Swanson Health is here to keep you healthy. Swanson Health carries over 20,000 wellness products at a great value. Pick up your favorite healthcare products today, plus discover new ones for your wellness routine, all while leaving money in your pocket. If you want to try any of Swanson Health's great products for yourself, use code THRIVE20 for 20% off at swanson.com. Hey guys, so I have Amanda Brown with me. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm super excited about this topic that we're going to dive into, you guys, because we all go through this in some way, shape, or form. And I think it's so important to give my viewers her knowledge, first of all, and life experience, because that's really the key, the life experience, and give kind of like that step-by-step process of what you're going to go through and how to kind of navigate through the space that you're in right now. So how do we handle life when it doesn't go as planned? Amanda, what are your thoughts?
Oh, there's so many. First, let me just say I'm so glad to be here with you today and with your listeners. So thanks for having me. I think one of the big things is when life doesn't go our way is to be able to just clearly see and acknowledge that it's not happening. So just be real about it, be upfront that, okay, this isn't what I planned, and learning how to kind of just come to terms with what's happening so then you can kind of move forward in that space. So really it's about this acceptance of what's going on, because sometimes we get so focused of, I wish it was this way, or it should have happened this way, or if onlys, and all of those things just kind of really spiral us down into a rabbit hole, when really if we can accept what's happening, even if we don't like it and it's total BS, it helps us move forward and have that space to create more awareness and make changes that we want to have.
Absolutely. As you were talking, one of the biggest things that I think really helped me was, I'm very big with, whether it's my coaching, whether my YouTube channel, or even on the podcast here, is allowing yourself to feel. I think your inner dialogue is like the biggest thing that you can do. When I talk about self-care and really learning how to take care of yourself or be emotionally or mentally healthy, regardless of what you're going through, it is the process of the inner dialogue. If that is off, you're screwed, basically.
The stories that we tell ourselves have so much impact on how we feel. And if there's so many times that we try to check out and we don't allow ourselves to feel the pain, so we continue to be in pain. So we have to feel our way through it. Absolutely. So important.
I think the important thing is something I learned, and I think it's just the way we're programmed, to seek pleasure and not pain and things like that. But the minute you kind of just let it happen, it goes away. It doesn't stay forever, because even if you had, you just realized your husband's leaving you or was cheating on you, or, you're going through something really awful and you just found out and you're in the knee deep of that despair moment of like, what the hell is about to happen to my life? That real shock moment, to be frank.
Absolutely.
I guess once you get over the shock and the real feeling actually starts to happen, is you do get to a place at some point where you don't want to feel that anymore. And it's not about suppression. It's more about, okay, I can get up and take a shower today, or I can do something. You don't want to live in that space all the time.
No, what comes to me when you say that is this whole amount of release. Like, we can let go and we can release this so we can expand in other areas and really kind of like, seeing, okay, I don't want to be here anymore. And really coming to that place, like, I find that when you wake up and go, what the F is happening right now? Or I just don't want to live like this anymore. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know I can't keep doing it this way. That is like one of the most powerful places we can be, because we've made a decision that change has to happen. And we're really kind of, even though we may not know what it looks like, we know that it has to evolve from where it's at in order for us to get to where we want to go, even if we don't know what's happening in that moment.
Right, right. I 100% agree. I think, you know, even the fluctuation of emotions and the ups and downs and the good day and the bad day and feeling hopeful and then feeling very terrified and scared. I always tell people, as much as that experience sucks, right? And no one wants to go through it. I feel like those are the moments that really build that emotional, not even just like emotional toughness, but that like strength. That's where like you're really doing the work, right? Yeah, so you absolutely don't go down the rabbit hole, like, you right know, you mentioned before.
Yeah, when you were saying that, I totally had this image of the time that I was going through a divorce and I just was like crying on the like kitchen floor, like go to the refrigerator to make, and I just like collapsed and allowed myself to feel everything I had been. And I don't know how long I was on the floor, but it was quite a while, just allowing myself to feel the pain, to know that my life was changing, to accept that it was happening, and to just release all of what was there, even though I couldn't describe all of it. And it's just so powerful when we do that, because like, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know, like with the whole pandemic that's happening right now, as we're recording this, like there's so much uncertainty in our lives. Like some people are working remotely and don't know when they'll go back to work, or like my niece had a baby and I can't even go see them yet because of the work that I do. Sometimes I'm come in contact with people. And so it's just, you don't know what's going to happen day to day. So when I kind of feel like we lean into that space versus like push away, it really helps us get to that allowing ourselves to feel our way through it.
Absolutely. You know, a big part for me, I always kind of defined happiness, even in the crappiest of situations. You know, let's be frank. My ex-husband left me a month, or asked me for a divorce a month after I had my son. So I was in complete shock, honestly, for probably a good month. And then I didn't find out he was having an affair while I was pregnant until my son was about 6 months old, maybe 7 months old, something like that. So I went through all these, you know, it was a good year of just all of these kind of like up and downs. And throughout all of that, something that kind of kept my sanity was the joy of my son. Now, you don't need to have had a child to find the joy, right? The joy is in, I'm in the moment with my mother, my father, my friend. I'm going for a walk by myself. Like just that ability to slow life down, I think gives you a lot of peace, quite frankly, in every day-to-day life, but especially when you're going through those feelings of disappointment or heartache or just that tough time.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that's really important to acknowledge is when you're going through a tough time, you still might have amazing moments in your life. And even if you've had a traumatic experience, it's not like you're always frozen in fear. You may have moments where you're carefree and fun and having a blast and really enjoying life, and then other moments not, and the anxiety and the terror come back in. And I think it's just even understanding that grief process or the loss process or how this works. There are a lot of waves of emotion, and learning how to ride that out and finding the things that bring comfort, really leaning into those, which you brought up self-care earlier, like that is such a critical piece. And it's more than just those baths and massages. It's about really what nourishes you, what nourishes your body, what nourishes your mind, what nourishes your soul. And when you deny giving yourself those things, you're denying so much to your life. And so really being able to see, where am I not giving to myself or allowing myself to receive because of this other thing over here? And I mean, I know that's been one of my struggles at different points in my life. And I've really had to step back and go, whoa, what, how am I contributing to that part of not taking care of myself by not nourishing and seeing what I need and still kind of resisting that? So I think that's really important to come back to, is that self-care piece when we're in this space of uncertainty And really, it's hard to go through divorce. And then it's hard to go through divorce when you've just had a baby and your emotions, and it's hard to go through divorce. Like, the layers can get really deep, right? Just like with everything else that's going on for different situations. You lose your job, things like that.
You know what's funny? I always thought maybe I wasn't in love as much as I thought. I don't know what it is, basically, but I'm not going to sit here and say it was easy for me to bounce back. It absolutely was not, because the picture I had was, I finally found the person. I had the baby. I just bought the house. We just redid it. So my life was just about to, quote, start, you know, like in that aspect. So all the dreams were there and they were all being fulfilled. And then it was like, it completely took me out, and my whole, every aspect of my life completely changed. So, you know, I didn't have a job at the time. I mean, literally every aspect changed. My friends were just his friends, so I didn't have my own circle. And for me, you know, a big part of it was almost survival mode. Like, I just sat there and said, and quite frankly, maybe it was anger too. I think a lot of it was probably anger, where I was like, you know what?
I relate to that.
Everything was just taken from me. And I'm not going to allow this situation or this person to destroy me in that way. So I think a lot of it, I always tell people, you know, we all have egos, use it for good. You know what I mean?
Why give them so much power? I think I had a lot of anger when I went through my divorce as well. So I can relate to that, but absolutely, we have to use that for good.
I always wonder why some people let these, you know, things that are happening to them, which are terrible, right? There are huge disappointments in life, whatever it is, how some people it takes over them and some people it doesn't. What do you think?
Oh, I love that question, because I think about that all the time. Like, you know, people can have similar circumstances, and what makes one person do this and one person do that? That's why I love psychology so much and really wanted to be a psychologist in my life, because I was just fascinated by that. But I think really it comes down to like yourself and your perception and how you're choosing to view, but it's a choice, but also we're structured and we learn certain things about how to be in life. So it's that ability to really reflect on what's happening. And I think some people are so focused on like that victim mindset, the blaming, this person did this to me. And when you're stuck in that capacity, it's really hard to move forward with hope or possibility in your life. But if you have this other mindset of like, okay, this is happening to me, and you're willing to be vulnerable and courageous and going, okay, I'm going to accept this and I'm going to see how I can use this for my benefit, use this for good in my life, it helps. It's like two different mindsets, and instead of letting this one mindset disempower you, you're actually letting this other piece of your life empower you, because every experience that we've ever had in our life is extremely important in defining to some extent who we are. But it also is our perception of how that situation happened, and those can change over time. So I think one way we view it before can change as we grow and evolve, but it's really that process of where are you choosing to focus your energy, how you were victimized and stuck in that mentality, or okay, this happened, and this like honest, real moment of, okay, where do I go from here? And obviously it's not okay. You're not accepting all of the things, like it's okay for people to do this, but like there's this sense of ownership of like, okay, this happened, and now what do I do about it? Now, how do I move forward with it instead of that other part of the blame or the victim of I can't because of, or if only I would have done this, or if this would have happened, then this, that just keeps us stuck. That keeps us spinning our wheels and really doesn't help us move forward. So it's like being able to switch. And sometimes we need to hit that like rock bottom moment where we're crying on the kitchen floor, like, or whatever happens, that rug gets pulled out from us. Sometimes we need to hit that to be able to see. So we all come to that space differently. I mean, like my own journey, I didn't do any of my work for like 20 years after all of my stuff happened. And that's okay. So it's just those different moments in time.
I completely agree. My defining moment, it's funny, wasn't actually my ex-husband leaving me in that whole process. And some people hear my story and they're like, oh my God, I don't even know how you, and maybe I'll wake up in my 60s or 70s and be like, wait, wow, I can't believe I went through that. And I did so well in that process. It wasn't that. It was actually when I was getting married, and I told this story on my channel a lot of times. Right before I was getting married, I went through probably 3 months of depression where I had never experienced anything like that before. I'd always had bits of anxiety, but I never knew what that was. My mom used to call it nervous belly. You know, say I'm very sensitive. I'm a worrier. I'm an overthinker. But my defining moment was that period of real depression where I couldn't get out of bed. I didn't want to go to work. I felt very unfulfilled in my job. I was getting married. There was so much going on in my personal life and professional. And it was just like the storm. When it rains, it pours. It all came down, issues with the father, this, you know, this, that, and that. And that it was just, I think it was just a mental overload for me. And like, I just crashed.
Today's sponsor is Hero Cosmetics. They sent us over the Mighty Patch, which is a hydrocolloid acne patch. I actually had a huge monster pimple last night, so I stuck on a Mighty Patch original overnight, and in the morning, the pimple was totally flat. So that is very cool. If you want to try the Mighty Patch for yourself, you can use code HEAL15 for 15% off at herocosmetics.com.
And that was my awakening moment, if you call it. So by the time the divorce happened, I was like, okay, that process was way harder than anything that you even think you're going to possibly throw at me. So I do think you're right too, that there are those defining moments that, you know, try to take you down, and you have that almost like spiritual awakening where you kind of just surrender and you learn. I learned a lot of tools during that time of spirituality, and I always say this from my work, I think is, and I'm sure same with you, it's a lot of psychology and it's a lot of spirituality. And the two have to come together in order to really be able to utilize both of them at their best, you know?
Absolutely. Totally agree. I think back to one of my defining moments as well. And it was like, we'd already split up. I was walking into a work like celebration, like an anniversary party for a job. And it was, the theme was the All American Girl, red, white, and blue apple pie and ice cream. And I was like, what the fuck is this? What is this for? Cause it's not me. Cause that wasn't who I was or how I defined myself. It was the moment that I realized I'd compromised so much of who I was that nobody knew who I was because I'd taken on so much of him. And it was just like this, like, whoa, like this moment of like this, how is this even happening in my life? And it really helped me, like, I wasn't perfect at it after, but it really helped me kind of try to have that perspective of who am I? Who am I in relationship to this person who I'm not even with anymore? Nobody knew we were like separated at that time, but who am I for me without other people? And I think that's really sometimes hard is at least for women, the women that I've worked with, my stuff is that there's sometimes so much outside, like looking for that outside perspective that we forget to turn in and check in with who we are and say, is this in alignment? And that's like where that spirituality piece is, because if we're not engaging in some of that for ourselves, it's really hard to tap in to know who we are. On like an I want to say like on the essence of who we are versus like in relationship to other people.
Well, and I think you just brought it full circle, because when I asked, you know, what helps someone, why does someone react in one way versus the other? Again, totally different. There's so many different scenarios, you know, like how does two brothers, same life, one's an alcoholic, one's not, like completely different scenarios. But for this specific topic, I do think, especially when it pertains to divorce, heartbreak, you know, relationships ending, quite frankly, any type of real, real disappointment that you have to go through, maybe a job fell through or something like that. There was something about that thing that you wanted that you put so much energy into that it was just going to be the thing, right? It was just going to be this thing that just like took off, and it was going to be successful, or it was going to be, you know, the best marriage ever. So maybe it was some projections, maybe it wasn't, but I think that when you, you know, when something ends, my biggest thing is I want to know why. So yeah. Why did this come into my life? And then why did it leave my life? What was the big lesson that this person or this situation had to teach me to go forward? And I think we've talked a lot about, you know, knowing where you want to go from here and that moving forward piece, which I think is so incredibly huge, but you can't get there until you accept, you know, there's a multitude of layers to this. And, you know, not going down the rabbit hole and all those types of things. But I think the moving forward is, what can I learn from this situation? What work do I have to do on myself? Yep. Where did I fall off? And not that we did anything wrong, but really, even the most painful situations, I always want to look for the lesson. I think that's the most important thing. Hell, if I have to go through pain, something is going to come out of this experience.
Yes, I completely agree. I think that the lesson is so powerful. And it's sometimes why we're brought back to the same thing over and over and over again, because we're not looking, we're not finding the lesson. So we have, I believe, certain lessons that we're destined to some extent learn in our lives. And so the more we avoid them, the more they show up in our lives. But absolutely, if we can find that lesson, it helps us evolve as a person and grow, and really being able to cultivate the things that we want in our lives versus the things that we don't. But we do have to find the lessons. And one of the descriptions I always use is, like, it's like you're down in the hole and you are cursing, looking up at everything, all those rocks and branches and everything that ever hurt you and scarred you, and you're cursing them. But as much as they hurt you on your fall down, they're also everything that's available for you to climb your way out of this situation. They, ooh, if you allow it, every rock and branch can be one more leg up to get you one step farther out of that hole or situation you're in, if you're willing to accept it and find that lesson within it.
Well, and I think that's the difference between, like you said, the victim mentality versus empowerment. By all means, vent, scream, cry, ugly cry, you know, sit in that space for a second. But the real mental training, I think, is, I feel like sometimes I sound like Tony Robbins, you know, and then I feel like I sound like Eckhart Tolle. And then I'm like, and then I got a little Abraham Hicks over here. Like, I go from this, like, trying to be spiritual person to, like, no, mental toughness, we can do this, because it's a skill. It's a skill of not, it's very easy to just get into that addictive habitual thinking, right? It's almost like eating McDonald's every day. Hey, it feels great. You know what I mean? But it's not going to get me the results that I want.
No, you're totally right. And I think sometimes it's finding what works for you, because what works for that person, like a few of the things that I have done and come to realize again in my life that I need is physical movement. Sometimes talking your way through things just doesn't work, and you need to fight your way through things. I mean, that's why I got involved in martial arts, and you need to, like, physically move your body to move that energy, to release it. And sometimes, I mean, sometimes there are no words for what you're feeling, because you just don't know how you're feeling, but you know how you're feeling. And so being able to move your body. So remember that, like, one of the things that's really important to me is find your own way through all of the mud and the muck. And that doesn't have to look like any other teacher, as long as you're finding your way through it. And, but definitely use guides, but it's a personal journey too.
Yep. And when you touched on earlier, kind of like defining myself and just like really that connection that you have to yourself, like, who am I, you know, like, what makes me tick? What feeds my soul? What do I need to do to give myself every day? I always tell my clients, once a day, you should be giving something to yourself, either emotionally, mentally, physically, or spiritually.
Absolutely.
If you can, you know, and if you can't that day, that's going to happen too. Then tomorrow you need to give yourself two things to kind of like keep the recouping going. Yeah. And I think, you know, I always tell my clients what you said, what works for me may not work for you, but I think what all of us need are the same things. They just look differently.
Absolutely.
So physical activity to some people is CrossFit 5 days a week, da, da, da. For me, it looks a little different, you know, but I think just doing something, and, you know, when something like this happens and life's not going as planned and you're feeling discouraged and your world's got shaken upside down, these are like, and we've said this, huge defining moments really for yourself.
Yep.
How, you know, what's going on inside of me? How am I going to be able to handle this and deal with this? These are those defining moments where you really rise up and you have, and that connection with yourself, if it's something that you really dive into, that spiritual practice, you begin to kind of redefine yourself. This is what fulfills me. This is who I am. I'm this person. This is what I need day in and day out. And you begin to, as corny as it sounds, I feel like the phrase love yourself is like everywhere. And this, to me, this is it. It's that relationship really with yourself and being able to take care of yourself on that emotional and mental level.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes like falling in love with yourself, like it's like this, how do I create this relationship with myself that I'm so enamored that I would spend the time to give myself the love that I need. And so I think that's a mindset shift too, because I've been focused in my own life, part of it, on other people and how I am to them. And so when they feel good about me, then I feel good about me, but really kind of like unpacking and untethering that. So then I can go, okay, how do I fall in love with myself and loving myself so radically that it just, other people can't help but see that I love myself, and that it just becomes okay whether, you know, they're telling me or not. It's like, I know what makes me feel good and I'm giving it. I think that's a huge thing of that whole process of acceptance, of really kind of seeing who you are and just honoring every bit of that, because everything has brought us to here and we get to decide who we want to be. As much as we've had all these experiences, we get to decide how those continue to impact us.
And I love that like ending point of like rebuilding. Some people are terrified of it. I so welcomed it. I was like, let's rebuild. How are we going to reinvent ourselves? I want to do this. I need to find a circle of friends. And I just kind of, for me personally, I went in knee deep. I was like, we're going to move to a different town. We're going to, you know, and I think this is the place where you start to say, not just who am I, but what do I really want? You know, like what's next for me? And if it is a relationship, if it is a new job, if it is a move, if it, whatever, just defining those things very, very clearly, I think is hugely important, because people don't realize every day you set goals for yourself. Even, you know, the goal is I'm going to take care of myself today, meaning maybe I just go take a shower. That's still a goal, you know? So it's those little tiny moments that you do every day that actually get you to the big goal, right? Like, I want to change jobs. I want to move to this town. But I think that's, for me, that was always the fun part is, you know, what is my life going to look like now? And what do I want for myself?
I think you hit on something when you said that, like the fun, like not losing that idea that even though we're going through something, we can make it fun. We can make it exciting. We can find the pleasure and joy in the situation, because if it feels so mundane, so heavy, it takes a lot of energy to show up. So even if it's just playing with like, okay, what can I wear that makes me feel fun today, or feel like different, or how I want to feel, like what's one thing I can do to just play today? I think that really opens up things, because I think as adults, sometimes we can get too seriously and take life too seriously, or maybe that's just me.
No, it's not.
but for me, that's really like being able to play within my life, whether that's wearing a leopard print that day or just something that I can play with, makes it easier to show up and to deal with all the other big things that might be happening at my life in that time.
I agree. And I think, you know, moving forward, it's about, you know, like you said, it's about mindset. It's about having faith. It's about positivity. It's about what do I want for my life? Letting go of fears. I mean, this work is not for the weak.
I always say this work is not for the faint of heart. You have
there to, like, you go. That's what I meant to say.
Put your war paint on and like be like, okay, I'm ready. And like it's a balance of grace and fight, right? Like I feel like sometimes you have to fight, but sometimes it's about leaning in and not fighting. Yep, but yeah, I feel like I've put my war paint on plenty of times in my life.
No, that's beautifully said, and it's very, very true. I think, you know, I think everything that we've talked about would is 100% going to give a lot of people faith and hope and hopefully direction and validation, I think, is a huge thing. I just think it's such a multi-layered thing to go through, and being very gentle with yourself and loving yourself through everything and really finding what are the things that are going to feed me day to day. I think for me, a lot of the times when I've been knee deep in a situation, it's easy to say all this and see all the lessons now that we're all removed from it, you know, but when you're knee deep in it, it's really hard. And I think it's just about how do I get through the day and how do I just take care of myself? And then as you start to move on and feel better, then it becomes feeling better about yourself, and because you've been taking really good care of yourself, whether it's mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever. And it starts to add up, and then you start to feel good and life starts to move on. And as it's moving on, this is where the rebuilding is. You can't rebuild day one.
No, you have to it takes time to lay that foundation to rebuild upon. When you unearth and bulldoze through stuff, and it takes time. If you've ever built a house from scratch, there's this whole process of packing in the dirt and then pouring the forms or putting the forms together to pour the concrete, let that dry and cure. And so there's levels of things. So when you're tearing things apart, you have to give them time to put themselves back together so they can build stronger. And the rebuilding process is messy and it's exciting and it's emotional, but it is empowering. And it is so full of possibility that you get to create and rebuild what you really want to cultivate if you're truly having awareness with what you want and how you want to be in the world.
I love that because it's true. You know, this situation, it doesn't define you. It just doesn't. It's just something that you're going through. It's a time in your life, and there's grieving, and there's, like you said, there's messy stuff and there's great stuff. And in the grand scheme of your life, it's a moment in time and you have to go through it. And I agree with you. I do believe that there are lessons that we have to learn in every lifetime. And I do think that the rebuilding phase, it can be extremely empowering. I just think that the more you achieve those little goals, you start to get that confidence. And that's when the momentum happens. And that's when you know you're in a really good space. Look at me. I wanted to do this and I didn't think it was possible and I did it. And look at me. You know, so at least that was the case for me. As I began to chip away, I gained more and more power. And I was like, wow, I got this. I got this. I got this. And even now in these moments of day-to-day life today, where I'm just having a bad day or a stressful day, it's those conversations. I can't stress that enough, you guys. The conversations are so important, and learning how to have a healthy dialogue is essential. So,
yeah, totally. When you were saying that, I'm like, yes, yes, and more yes, because it is that you have with yourself. It's leaning into it. It's really about just being with who you are and your experience and not letting all of those pieces are part of you, but they are not you.
Yeah.
That is really, really important. And there was something else I was going to say, but it totally went out of my head. So that's okay.
Well, listen, Amanda, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your amazing, wonderful insights. I know this is going to really help someone out there. You guys, go check out her book. It's called You're Brave Enough, 8 Daily Practices to Be Your Own Hero. I'm going to link everything down below. Please go check her out. Thank you again, and we'll speak soon.
Yes, thank you for having me. Take care.
Absolutely.